Okay. 2019 wine cellar. For me, this is the real start of it, right? January 7th right now, 3:07 a.m., obviously, morning wine cellar. I guess, you know, I understand if someone's like, motherfucker, it's still nighttime. Go fuck yourself. It's not morning. I understand that. And but as I say, it's a 2019 wine cellar. Starting off in a ill place. You know, about 16, 17 hours ago, I finished a straight binge watch of the Surviving R. Kelly on the Lifetime. You know, and this is long form show prep. All right, because I'm getting ready for January 13th. All right, at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, January 13th. We'll go ahead and do a live wine cellar with the phone lines up. I made a Facebook event for it, for a reminder. You know, I didn't invite folks to it yet because I want to like wait until it's just a couple of days away from it, because I don't want to send the invite out now then people click going and then forget. You know, I want it to be a little fresher in heads, because I'd like for folks to call in. It, you know, not just me and Phoenix talking, more voices. Excuse me. And of course, folks probably know what I did. I went to go see what the Tariq Nasheed niggas and niggas like that have to say about it, which is, of course, heavy-handed victim blaming. Heavy-handed. And you know, Tariq always likes to switch narratives. He's like, nah, I don't like that narrative. I like this one. And of course, if folks know, Tariq Nasheed is an ex-pimp. And so... that somehow he's been a little bit more open about that recently, like with the on that Maury show with the black girl that said she hated black people, but then but her Facebook was still public, so screenshots of her Facebook showed that she was aware of police brutality and was against it and saying they're killing our people. So it's pretty much a lie for publicity on the Maury show. But when he saw that, and he saw that her mother used to be with a white man and then left and probably didn't get much of a settlement out of it, he was like, that's why hoes need pimps. That's a verbatim quote. He said, that's why hoes need pimps. You can go on YouTube and fucking find that shit. Yeah, you just, you know, you know how to hit the keywords. Maury, black girl hates herself, Tariq Nasheed, it's there. And that motherfucker said, that's why hoes need pimps. He goes in that direction so much more than he used to now. But there's, of course, goofy shit people are saying about this. And we'll do the full episode on it. But, like, one of them that really bugs me out is I'm seeing people, you know, that got a decade or so on folks my age and Phoenix Kaleeder's age. You know, Phoenix Kaleeder's 37, I'm 35. And you see the folks saying, like, how come you weren't saying nothing? It's like, okay, let's answer that disingenuously applied inquiry with some context. All right, how come we weren't saying nothing? All right, let's run it back. The R. Kelly child pedophile archive rape tapes hit the internet. Was it 2002, 2003, 2001, somewhere in that window? Nigga, there's no MySpace. There's no Facebook. I think we had like blackplanet.com. Like, there was no YouTube. There was no Twitter. Where were we supposed to say something? We had forum websites, and I was on the hip hop forum website, like, oh yeah, fuck R. Kelly. But a lot of forum websites are fucking gone now. They're old. They couldn't hang with the new quick scroll social media shit. You know, the one that I was on, hiphop.com, that's gone. So the archives of me saying something are gone. But then you're telling us we need to say something. R. Kelly was doing all this. We need to say something. Nigga. Let's go back to the Aaliyah joint. That was 1994, right? I turned 11 that year. I'm going just on me in particular. I turned 11, and again, I mean, to hell with a no MySpace, no forums, there's like barely an internet. Like, what was the coolest thing people did on the internet? What, play chess against a kid in another state on a chessboard on the internet screen? It was, shit wasn't popping like that. Niggas playing Doom on the computer. Shit, niggas did more shit just internally on the computer than getting on a damn internet where it fucks up your phone call. All right, so, but again, 11 years old. And also, an 11-year-old hip-hop head at that. I don't know what the fuck is going on in the R&B world. I don't watch the interviews. I don't play the records. I don't know what the hell they're doing. And when it comes, in me in particular, when it comes to the Aaliyah shit, I'm so goddamn late. I didn't know that he was, grooming and raping Aaliyah. I use the word raping, all right? I know folks are either like, oh, you're going too far. Well, yeah, well, it's welcome to the wine cellar. This is normal in this space, all right? When you know when Phoenix and I go too far, when we say some shit and we pause and go, damn, all right? So I say raping. He wasn't having sex with Aaliyah. I'd say pedophile, grooming, rapist, period, point. All right, and so when I didn't know that he was doing that until, what, like fucking like 2004, 2005, like, I'm the nigga that's late. I don't know these things, but guess what? When I did, I said, oh, he was raping Aaliyah too? Fuck that nigga again. Fuck that nigga 15 times. Fuck him. All right? But, Generation X. So I'm watching this Surviving R. Kelly, documentary, and they show B-roll of, video footage that they got of, like, actual, like, stands in Chicago, and I don't know if other cities as well, maybe, but, in Chicago, there were stands with, I think DVDs existed back then, right? They were still new, but they existed. And they got maybe DVDs, VHS tapes, and it's like R. Kelly, XXX tape, buy it. Generation X was posted up there selling the shit, profiting off of archived child rape videos. Generation X, what's your deal? I mean, damn, nigga, I knew your motherfuckers sold out. But you sold child porn on purpose. All right, I'm generalizing. It wasn't the bloody lot of you. That was the age group, though. And now they're looking, millennials, y'all ain't doing shit. Y'all ain't saying shit. Check the archives. We're almost at episode 800. We talks much ado about rape culture, nigga. All right, that... See, I'm 8 minutes in, and I'm just riffing about this as if this is the actual episode. That is Sunday, January 13th. We'll be doing that episode. All right, right now it's the 7th. I am a news nerd, been a news nerd ever since I was, let's go back to that same age again, 11, ever since I was 11. And I just really dug reading the newspaper front to back. I'd even look at shit that had nothing to do with me, like the fucking, buy a home section. Fuck it, read it all. Alright, and now I'm an adult, and I get to be a news nerd with a podcast and share news that I see with yous. Alright, now this is interesting. This website is, Gossip Mill Nigeria is this website. Now, homophobia, there you go. That's always there. Right? And it's the hypocrisy factor, right? A married pastor mistakenly uploads photo of him kissing another man on Facebook. All right, that's the headline. And you're like, okay, yeah, married pastor cheats on wife with a man. Who knows? You assume they're in the church. They're saying some homophobic shit. And this is the whole story to me. It's just this is really the headline, because after that, after the word Facebook, let's do it again. Married pastor mistakenly uploads photo of him kissing a man, another man on Facebook. And then in parentheses, it says disturbing photos And it really is just a couple of fellers with their shirts off, kissing. Maybe it's because they're both bald. But these are disturbing photos. Disturbing. All right, let's see. And they don't really have much of an article. They literally just have the picture twice and these very few words. A married New York City-based pastor, Tommy Clark, is currently enthralled in a deep sexual mess. The pastor's act has left members of his congregation shocked after accidentally posting a photo of him kissing another man on Facebook. He shocked the church members. He shocked the church members were fast to get screenshots. Don't be shocked at that, nigga. He has since deactivated his social media account. Someone shared it on Instagram with the caption, "Our pastor just uploaded the wrong picture and he's married to a woman, SMH." And that's for shaking my head. It's anybody's guess what will happen at next service and how his wife will react to this. Will you still attend a church if you were a congregation member? I don't know. I just know that this whoever handles the headlines at gossipmillnigeria.com, they find these to be disturbing photos. Like, they that's that conservative mind. They literally put a trigger warning for a couple of fellers kissing, and I ain't got no shirts on. Motherfuckers. All right. This coming off of Yahoo Lifestyle. What the fuck is this scarlet letter ass shit? Look at this headline. School policy forces kids with bad grades to wear special IDs. and it's a high school. Let me go ahead and blow this up. I got the glaucoma, folks. A high school that requires some students to wear ID badges announcing their failing grades is causing bullying and public ridicule, especially for students with learning disabilities, and has caused the American Civil Liberties Union to step in. All right, that's the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, getting involved. And check the ableism on that shit, right? Like, you wouldn't think that, like how long, nigga? Ooh, excuse me yawning. Like, how long have you been a school? You know there are children with learning disabilities. And then also, you're just going to blow up the spot on them? Like, what's the badge for? And it's almost like you want to deliberately separate people. It's like some very old post on the internet. Like, it's one of those old posts that has been copied and pasted and, dare I say, plagiarized. I'm kind of going to throw that word out colloquially. Plagiarized so many times, I have no idea the origin of this post. But it was about people being mad that somebody has an EBT card or food stamps, but they also have, you know, like a, you know, their car looks reliable, you know, their clothes, you know, look comfortable, maybe even name brand. And they have a cellular telephone, dear goodness, a smartphone. And it was like, but you don't know my situation. Like, I may have been laid off. I may have just came into some wild medical bills. You know, the company I worked for may have gone under. Like, you don't actually know. And then also, you don't know how they got the stuff. Like, that car could be something that someone helped them get. Might have been a loan. The smartphone could have been a Christmas gift. Their clothes could have been gifts. And, you know, also on the clothes tip, I think we mention this every once in a while. Like, like, we got clothes. I have clothes. You know what I mostly do? I'm at Goodwill or Burlington Coat Factory. Get some good shit there. All right. My cardigans, those are from fucking Goodwill. Them shits, I get them like $4.99, $3.99. My work pants and my casual pants are mostly all from Goodwill. You know, I got some pretty decent work pants, like some really good, you know, Wranglers, you know, good cargo pants Wranglers. I got some pretty good work pants down there at the Goodwill. I have a steel toe Caterpillar work shoes, you know, for my, because I work in a factory, so it's a good idea to have steel toes, you know, and I got them shits at Burlington Coat Factory. You know, it's a $40 drop. Bang. Give me some steel toe shoes, keep my fucking, my feet safe in the factory. Like, Jesus Christ, excuse us for knowing how to navigate poverty. Poverty has existed for so long, it's like people that are, that have had intergenerational class privilege didn't realize that people might get good at navigating it. Like, systemic poverty is, like, what? We call it capitalism, but it's just, it's industrialized feudalism. It's old. All right? I just tangented way off the story. Didn't even look at the second paragraph. Right? So, this high school requiring students to wear ID badges announcing their failing grades. And the American Civil Liberties Union getting involved. All right? Now, it's called Mingus Union High School, and it's in Cottonwood, Arizona. And they issue the badges for all students to hang around their necks. Freshmen and sophomores wear red-colored cards, and juniors and seniors gray, both of which are school colors. These are standard badges worn by students at schools across the nation. At schools across the nation, issued at large, part as identification in the case of a school shooting. I remember we had student IDs, but, you know, we just kept them in our wallet. But I, Jesus Christ, that was some time ago that I was in school. 2002, that was the end of it for me. all right. Now, but according to the ACLU, upperclassmen who struggle in classes must also wear red badges, aka scarlet badges of shame, with numbers that indicate the repeated grade level if their marks don't improve. Not surprisingly, students forced to wear the bright red badges have experienced increased bullying, public ridicule, and shaming by other students and teachers. Outstanding. All right, and I will link that, and I should also reopen something. Bing. Okay. Good, good, good. Now, let's head on down over here. Come on. SD, all right. Is that a South Dakota? Yeah. They will require a patient see a sonogram and hear a possible heartbeat, all right? This is an abortion rights story.
Well, soon it will be back to business for the South Dakota State Legislature, and lawmakers have a number of bills to discuss. One of them concerns the controversial issue of abortion.
KDLT's Allison Royal combed through the bill and explains how it would impact South Dakotans if passed.
It's a bill that's been in the works for 2 years, and now it's making its way here to Pierre. Right now, doctors offer patients seeking an abortion the option to view a sonogram or listen to the heartbeat if one is present. If Senate Bill 6 passes, these would be requirements.
These are laws that are effective in lowering the abortion rate and protecting unborn babies because pregnant mothers are able to receive factual, scientific information.
State Senator Stace Nelson calls this, quote, women's right to know legislation.
Now, for example, I had surgery several years ago where they operated on my foot. And before they did that,
my nigga said women's right to know. But is how is something you're forcing a right? But then again, it won't work if they're honest about it. Like they, and that's why we call them forced birthers over here in the wine cellar. They're not pro-lifers. They're forced birthers. Never use their language.
No legislation.
Now, for example, I've received factual, scientific information.
State Senator Stace Nelson calls this, quote, women's right to know legislation.
Now, for example, I had surgery several years ago where they operated on my foot.
Oh, yeah. On his foot. That is the same thing. All right.
Before they did that, they did extensive imaging of it. And they showed it to me, and they explained to me what the surgery was going to entail.
This plan.
Ah, you see, so this is the same thing. You see, because they explain to you what's going on with your foot. You know, you got some problems with it. Now, women, you women, cis women in particular, and trans men, non-binary folks, some you, when you're pregnant, you have no idea what an abortion procedure would do. You just fucking, you know, you live in the modern day popular culture. Abortion seems cool and hip. You want to go get one. But hey, you have a right to know what the abortion procedure entails. Because what if you don't know that it's going to get rid of your baby? You don't want to lose your baby, baby. Ugh, this is horrible.
Planned Parenthood in Sioux Falls is the only place in the entire state that provides non-life-threatening abortions. There aren't any doctors that perform abortions in South Dakota either, so Planned Parenthood has to fly them in from Minnesota. Planned Parenthood opposes the bill, saying that the patient should decide whether or not they want to see a sonogram or hear a heartbeat.
This bill just continues to demean women's right to choose their own medical care.
If passed, Nelson says this protocol would also apply to rape victims seeking an abortion.
The child is not guilty of the rape.
Okay, and you see, there again, the refusal to use the word fetus. Absolute refusal. They have to say child. Now, keep in mind, what is that when they have to say child and not fetus? That is political correctness, all right? Political correctness, I'm a little younger than the phraseology of it, right? And but to my understanding, going into the 80s, it became known as some loony lefty liberal thing, all right? When really what political correctness actually is using the language to appeal to your intended audience, and to make, like, you're using your group's vernacular, where you're like, nah, we're using our in-group talk right now. Like, yeah, sure, I'm pretending I'm talking to everyone else, but I'm really talking to my fucking in-group right now. Like, I know that's what I'm doing. I know that somebody who's, you know, right of center is never gonna check out the wine cellar, ever. All right, we understand what we do here. We entertain leftists. We're leftist news nerd entertainers. All right, I mean, that's why there's music in the background under it, and we try to have a little jokey joke here and a white on white crime there, and here a joke, there a joke, everywhere a naked white man doing something with vodka, and but then, you know, it gets serious and you hear what language we use. We don't say prostitute. We say sex worker. Because over here, that's our political correctness. Because we know that, like, when we say that, we know who we're talking to, our in-group. We're talking to our squad. Our echo chamber, if you will. We know we're in echo chambers. We know it. We're okay. Our echo chamber is better than yours. All right.
And for a woman to be able to have the information that that is, in fact, not a lump of tissue, but an unborn child, is clearly relevant.
Our clinic treats every woman as just as important as the next. So no matter how that child was conceived, they deserve the very best health care, and they deserve the best health care decisions for themselves.
11 out of the 16 authors of the bill are men, while 5 are women. In Sioux Falls, Allison Royal, KDLT News.
According to lawmakers, under this bill, a woman can choose not to receive a verbal explanation of this information from a doctor and can still proceed with an abortion. The state legislature will start discussing the bill sometime within the next few weeks.
Well, that was a fun extra piece of information to throw in at the end. So they can still choose to not hear it. Huh. So is this like some performative legislation? You know what, though? I mean, with Gorsuch and Bad Boy Brett, and then, like, obviously, Ginsburg is gonna die soon. So, like, with that going on, yeah, they're gonna put up all these performative ones and just get up to it and get rid of that whole Wade thing. That whole liberal, evil, baby-killing thing that happened in the 70s. Alright, let's head on over here. Holy hell. All right, now that's hard to read. Now, I saw something on the World Wide Webernets, and it was a job posting. And thank fuck somebody got a screenshot of the job posting before it got taken down. Let me check my deal. I think my decibels are popping a little hard, right? A little heavy-handed. There you go, buddy. All right. Now. All right. Now, the job posted is on something called Indeed. I've never heard of it. Not familiar with it. But this is... check it out. The job posting is lead case manager. Oh, and there's red markings saying the posting is no longer available. But this is what it was. Lead case manager jobs in Atlanta, Georgia, 30314. All right. And Joseph and Sarah caring for veterans jobs in Atlanta. And part-time, the position is social worker case manager. Classification, part-time, 20 hours per week. And if you get the job, you report to the executive director program manager. All right, here we go. Position summary. Case managers at Joseph and Sarah caring for vets will accomplish veterans care by assessing needs, develop psychosocial assessment, developing monitoring and evaluating individualized service plans and progress. Link veterans with service resources, housing, financial assistance, VA healthcare, VA or community-based mental health and substance abuse treatment programs, employment with care benefits, and transportation. This is all what you're helping folks do. This is not the end of the position summary. The case manager will meet with veteran on a weekly basis and document progress utilizing organization forms, monitor and assist volunteer case managers with workload. Now you're done with position summary. Now you're on to responsibilities. All right, and it's a bullet point list. Conduct comprehensive psychosocial assessment of veterans. Develop individual. Oh wait, all that shit. This was so they reposted some of that stuff. Okay, a little bit that's different. prepare and submit weekly progress notes. Evaluating ISP individual service plans. Communicate with veterans' progress by conducting weekly interdisciplinary meetings and evaluations, disseminating results and obstacles to management, prepare veterans' discharge by reviewing, amplifying discharge plans, coordinating discharge and post-discharge requirements, enhances organization reputation by accepting ownership for accomplishing new and different requests. New opportunities to add value to job accomplishments. Qualifications. Here we go. Minimum of 4 years of professional experience in human service field. 2 to 3 years of experience serving homeless individuals is preferred. LSW or MSW degree in social work or related field. Experience working with veterans who are homeless and with veterans in crisis. These are qualifications we're listing here. Strong communication, verbal and writing skills, speaking, listening, and writing clearly and thoroughly, must have people skills, able to resolve conflict, integrity, and ability to connect to a diversified population. Proficient in Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, email, knowledge of community resources available in various neighborhoods, particularly those in Atlanta metro area. Detail-oriented with strong organizational and time management skills. Demonstrated ability to work independently and part of a team. Strong ability to represent the interest of the organization. Interact effectively with a diverse group. Build successful collaborative relationships with program participants and community collaborates. All right, that's just the job responsibilities and qualifications. All right, physical demands. The physical demands described here are representative of those that must be met by an employee to successfully perform the essential functions of the job. While performing the job, the position typically spends time sitting for prolonged periods, coordinating multiple tasks simultaneously, perform some repetitive motion activities, accurately complete detailed forms and reports, operating a computer, keyboard, firm, strong, grasping, makes and receives telephone calls, use of general office equipment, copier, fax machine, and basic office equipment. All right. Required education, master's degree, required experience, social work, 4 years, working with homeless population, 2 years, case management, 4 years, required licenses or certifications, LSW and case management. Salary, $9.25 an hour. Nigga, the fuck out of here with that shit. And this is why millennials say go fuck yourself. Fuck your capitalism. Your capitalism is pure shit. Whew. Okay. And I think we can close out with that for the morning wine cellar. This one, podcast only, had no time for YouTube video setup. We'll be back on the YouTube this week, very soon. Hell yeah, gotta dig it. Remember, I keep wanting to say September, January 13th, 2019, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. We will be doing our Surviving R. Kelly open discussion episode. You can look at the WineCellarMedia.com Facebook page and see the event there. Click going if you're already enter and ested. Ooh, excuse me. And also on the Twitter, it is it's the pinned post on the Black Podcast Wine Cellar Media Twitter. It's the pinned post there. And it's actually the pinned post at the Social Dissonance, a Critical Analysis of Justice page, also on the Facebooze. All right. Fucking keep the wines. Hold, what is it? The Phoenix Cleaver said, hold the wine cellar down, keep the wine cellar up. All right. It is an optional tax you could choose to pay so that everybody can drive on this road. PayPal.me/Phoenix and William. Patreon.com/Wine Cellar Media Fund. We're in a new month. New round of bills due. Indeedly do, neighbor. Please, motherfucker, be as safe as possible wherever you are.
You are the goddamn whitest person I've ever seen.
Because I'm going to keep you G-real.
I don't know, man. That doesn't seem woke. And I'm woke as hell.